coming together, and thank you for allowing us to share something with you. Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu will give us an update at 7 p.m. In terms of Maharaj's latest health situation, which seems to be very positive, moving in a very good direction. So we thought we'd just try to maybe share something, what our thoughts and feelings are. Of course, tomorrow, I don't know where everyone is geographically, but at least here in London, tomorrow is the beginning of Kartik. So maybe we could also reflect a little bit on that. And it will be very, very informal. So I guess I'll just try to say something for 20, 30 minutes, and then we'll open it up for any reflections or any discussion points that anyone would like to make, either based on what I share or anything you'd like to share. Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Nama om vishnupadaya krishna prishthaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swami niti namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vaishadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This week we were observing a very special day. On Tuesday it was the disappearance of three great acharyas, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who were all residents of Vrindavan, who were all incredible renunciates, who were all completely sold out to Lord Chaitanya, and who all somehow or other disappeared on the same day, of course in different years, but it said they had such a bond of love amongst them that on the disappearance day of each other, it was too much and they left the world. And when we look at the lives of these three great acharyas, then we can actually learn many, many lessons. All of them ended up in Vrindavan, which already is very, very significant, because in the life of a devotee, we're all trying to go to Vrindavan. That's ultimately our destination. That's ultimately the place that we're trying to reach. Rupa Goswami gives us the nectar of instruction, and then after giving us all the different instructions in the Upadeshamrita, he says one instruction is the Upadesha Sar, is the essence of all the nectarian instructions that I'm giving you. And what is that essential instruction in the nectar of instruction that he gives? He says, Tannama Rupa Charitadi Sukirtananu Shmrityo Kramena Rasana Manasi Niyojya, that one should somehow or other live such a naturally spontaneous Krishna conscious life that engagement in hearing about Krishna, speaking about Krishna, serving Krishna, such that everything around them becomes a stimulus for remembering Krishna. If one lives in this kind of consciousness, distan vraje tadanuragi jananugami, then that person is living in Vrindavan, and in this way, completely following in the footsteps of the Brajavasis. So for every devotee, all roads end in Vrindavan. That's the destination that we're trying to reach. That's the absorption that we're trying to grasp in our life. Of course, we remember our own spiritual master who's so much rooted in Vrindavan consciousness. And in that way, we're also aspiring for the same. Now, the interesting thing is that Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami all ended up in Vrindavan, but they all ended up in Vrindavan in very different ways. Raghunath Das Goswami was running away from home. Sorry, this phone's going off. Raghunath Das Goswami was running away from home, such that Mahaprabhu told him, don't be a madman. Mahaprabhu gave him a cryptic message. Pada vyasinini nadi vyagrapi grihakalmashu. He said, just be like a lady at home who has a paramour lover. And in that way, do your duty very, very carefully, but internally be very much focused. Sorry. Be very much focused on your ultimate object of love. Like this, Raghunath Das Goswami waited some time. Eventually, it became too much for him. He escaped from home. He got Nityananda's mercy, and then he ran to Mahaprabhu, and then Mahaprabhu told him to go to Vrindavan. And in that way, he ended up in Vrindavan by running away from home. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he was told by Mahaprabhu that you go back home and you care for your elderly parents until they've left from this world. And once you've wrapped up all of your duties, then you full-time engage in this life of renunciation. So he was a different kind of character. He was a different character. He was someone who fulfilled all his duties, completed his family life, and then went to Vrindavan. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, his story was completely different. He was just going about his business in his home, and one day Miniketana Ram came. He got offended by Gunaranava Mishra. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was feeling very bad. And that night, Nityananda Prabhu came to him in a dream. And he said, Are are Krishnadas Nakarahabhai. Vrindavana yahataha sarvalabhyahai. Oh Krishnadas, don't worry about anything. Now you just go to Vrindavan and there you will gain everything that you require. So it's very interesting. All three of these sadhus, all three of these saints, all three of these acharyas ended up in Vrindavan, but they all had very, very different journeys. So that's the first lesson for us, that we all want to go to Vrindavan. We all want to be in Vrindavan. We all want to ultimately situate ourselves in Krishna's very own transcendental abode. But the way we reach there, the means by which we get there, the way we're going to do it, we're all going to be different because we all come with a different life situation, a different karmic makeup and a different set of obstacles and an artist to deal with. But the second very, very important instruction here is not just that we all have to end up in Vrindavan, which all three of these sadhus did, but if we want to end up in Vrindavan, then we have to follow the guidance of the guru. Because in each of their situations, their gurus gave them a very different route in order to get to Vrindavan, a very different set of instructions that would help them arrive at Krishna's abode. And in this way, the guru is the one who sets us the map, sets us on the journey. And in this way, they were all completely sold out. They were all ready to follow the orders of their gurus, however difficult the instructions were. It was difficult for Raghunath Das Goswami to not just run away straight away, but to go away and act like a pounds and shillings man, like Mahaprabhu told him, but he did it. It was difficult for Raghunath Bhatta Goswami to go back home and then fulfill all of his obligations and wait for everything to be tied up before coming to meet Mahaprabhu. But he did it. it was difficult for Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who just one night got a dream saying, go to Vrindavan the next morning. I mean, if we would get a dream like that, it would be quite difficult to just follow it. Like, just drop everything. Maybe some of us actually, we'd wish for a dream like that, maybe. But it would be difficult to just, in one go, just leave like that. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami did it. They say it's somewhat easy to follow the word of God, because you can read Krishna's words and then interpret it and follow it how you want to. So it's somewhat easy to follow the word of God, but it's much more difficult to follow the words of the devotees, because the devotees are very direct in how they're telling you to surrender, and there's not much room for movement there. So it takes much more of a surrender. But those who are able to follow the words of the Vaishnavas, the words of the Guru, the words of the sadhus, they are very much end up with a very clear map of how they're going to reach to Krishna's own divine abode. And so while remembering these three great personalities, we're remembering how much they were able to just embrace the path that was chalked out for them. Raghunath Das Goswami, while he was in Vrindavan, he was writing many, many amazing books. And one of his books he wrote was the Mukta Charita, which Karam Khan Maharaj often quotes and narrates the story of the pearl pastime. And in that beautiful book, Raghunath Das Goswami writes an invocatory mantra to the Guru. And the invocatory mantra to the Guru is very, very amazing that he writes, because in that mantra, he basically begins to explain every gift that the Guru is giving the disciple in order to allow the disciple to enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And the Guru, what he's expertly doing is building up the spiritual wealth, the spiritual connection of the disciple in different ways, so that in order for that disciple to then enter into the divine abode will become a seamless transition. So what is that network? What are those connections? What is that spiritual wealth that the Guru is developing within the disciple? Raghunath Das Goswami explains. He says in the first line, Nama Shrestham Manumapi Sachiputram Atra Swarupam. He says, the first thing that the Guru gave me is connection with Nam, the holy name of Krishna. Nama Shrestham. The first thing that the Guru gave me was connection with Nam. The second thing the Guru gave me, Sachiputram. He gave me connection with Mahaprabhu. He gave me connection with the son of Sachidevi. And then what's the third thing the Guru gave me? Atra Swarupam Rupam Dasya Grajam. He gave me connection to the Acharyas, specifically Swarup Damada, Rupa Goswami, and the other Goswamis of Vrindavan. So the third thing he gave me was connection to the Acharyas. And then what's the fourth thing he gave me? Urupurim Mathurim Gostavatim Radha Kundam Girivaram. The fourth thing he gave me was connection to Mathura, connection to Govardhan, and connection to Radhakund, and ultimately connection to the divine abode known as Vrindavan. And then he says, Radha Kundam Girivaram, Ahuradika Madhavasam. And by having these four connections, he's ultimately giving me connection into the eternal pastimes which are going on between Radha and Krishna. So this is the job description of a guru. A guru is meant to give you connection to Nam. He's meant to give you connection to Mahaprabhu. He's meant to give you connection to the Acharyas, and he's meant to give you connection to Vrindavan. And then ultimately, by giving connection with all of these things, then ultimately, Ahuradika Madhavasam, he'll give you entrance into the pastimes of Radhika and Madhava. So Prabhupada gave us all of these things. And then what the expert followers of Prabhupada do is they nourish us, they train us, they coach us, they inspire us, and through their own example, they basically guide us in terms of how we can then develop more and more of a substantial connection with all of these things. And so if we ever come across a personality in our life who helps us to develop our spiritual connection with these things, we can understand this person is truly Guru. And I'm sure all of us can relate to how our own spiritual master has so much nourished our connection with all of these things, with the holy name. You know, how much Maharaj has, you know, first and foremost through his own taste in the holy name and his own absorption, and then through his deep reflections and his constant personal guidance. I remember some years ago, Maharaj started this thing called Japa Talks on his website. And he'd ask all the devotees to like write their reflections about Japa. And somehow or other, I didn't write anything on there. And then Maharaj came to me and he said, "You have no realizations of the holy name. That's why you're not writing it. Well, you need to think about the holy name and then write something on that forum. Devotees need to think about the holy name." So Maharaj so much is like encouraging us to understand the Nam Tattva in a deeper way. And then Sachiputram, how much Mahaprabhu connects us to Gauranga, to Chaitanya. I remember once I said to Maharaj that, "Maharaj, I can't get into Gura Leela. It's like, it's difficult. I don't quite understand it. It's like, it's beyond me." And then he looked at me and he said, "Think about Gura Leela later. First understand Gura Tattva. First understand the truth about Gauranga. First understand the position of Gauranga." And then he said to me that, "If you have a connection with me, you have to have a connection with Gauranga. There's no way you can be my disciple and not have a connection with Gauranga." So how much Maharaj connects us to Gauranga, to Mahaprabhu, to Chaitanya Charitamrita. And not just that, the mood of Gauranga, the magnanimity, the compassion, the sense of just freely giving without any consideration of who's qualified, who's not. Just that very deep mood of kindness that Gauranga embodies, Mahaprabhu embodies, Maharaj really communicates that to each one of us. And then, yes, the acharyas, you know, Maharaj often talks about the Goswamis, and he talks about that letter where Prabhupada says, I want to have 25 renunciates in Vrindavan who are just like the Goswamis, so that we can push on our movement in this way. So Maharaj, so much connected to the Goswamis, so much connected to the acharyas, so much connected to the commentaries and the things that they've written and the insights that they've had. Many of us have had the fortune traveling with Maharaj and going to many of these places and hearing Maharaj's reflections on all of these things. Like this, like nurturing us in having a deeper relationship with the acharyas, not just the informational relationship with the acharyas, but a very meaningful personal relationship with the acharyas. Maharaj really brings that out, you know, how he brings out the personality of each acharya so amazingly. And in this way, he's kind of training us in how to very much have a personal connection with all the amazing personalities in our movement. I remember some of us on this call, we remember we went to Bangladesh with Maharaj. And one of the places we went to in Bangladesh was Sylhet, which is the original place where Advaita Acharya advented himself. So we went to this place. For anyone who came on that trip, you might remember it was like out in the sticks. It was like so difficult to get there. It's like, you know, such an endeavor. And then somehow we got there, and at least for the superficial eye, there was nothing much there. There was a kind of small temple. There wasn't anything that much. And when we were coming back, I was like, Maharaj, that was quite an endeavor to get there. You know, there wasn't like so much. There wasn't so much to see there, Maharaj. And then he didn't say much at that time. And then what happened is the next morning we arrived in Mayapur, and then we were in the Panchatattva temple. So I was there. I didn't realize Maharaj was there. So I was there in front of Panchatattva at Darshanarti, and I was praying. And you know what it's like. You pray to Mahaprabhu, and then you pray to Nityananda. And then I was praying to Advaita. And just as I prayed to Advaita Acharya, whose place we had gone to the previous day, just as I was praying to Advaita Acharya, Maharaj came behind me and he whispered in my ear. He said, "Now it's different when you see Advaita Acharya, isn't it? Because you've been to his birthplace, because you made the endeavor to try and understand him in a deeper way, because we made the yatra, the pilgrimage to that place. Now when you see Advaita Acharya, it's different, isn't it?" And so that was very nice, because I realized that's what the guru does. He helps you to have a much more personal connection with all of the personalities within our wonderful spiritual family. And then the guru connects you to Vrindavan. And I don't think any of us need to be told that. It's very, very clear. So many of the devotees here have been with Maharaj on parikrama to Vrindavan. And Maharaj holds Vrindavan so much within his heart. And Maharaj is really... really encourages that within each one of us to understand that yes, we worship Krishna, but specifically we worship Krishna in Vrindavan, and understanding what the spirit, what the mood, what the underlying essence of Vrindavan is. And Maharaj really brings that out. And because he spent so many years in Vrindavan, not just in Vrindavan, but serving in Vrindavan, he's so much filled with that spirit. So that's why I was just kind of reflecting on today about how all these three great acharyas ended up in Vrindavan by the mercy of their spiritual teachers. They all had very different journeys, and their spiritual teachers knew what journey to take them on. And they were surrendered to their spiritual teachers, and thus they made that journey. And Raghunath Das Goswami is then explaining to us how the guru helps to introduce you to the entire pastimes of Radha and Krishna by introducing you to all this spiritual wealth, the holy name, Mahaprabhu, Vrindavan, the acharyas. And so like Kartik is, I don't know where you are, but in London, Kartik begins tomorrow. And so, like, I was just thinking that this is what we do in Kartik. We take all of these gifts that the spiritual master has given, and we really then try to go deep with that. We try to make it more meaningful. We try to really establish a significant, powerful connection with these things. And we try to intensify it. If we were in Vrindavan today, then we would be doing Vrindavan Parikrama. Tomorrow we would be beginning Vrindavan Parikrama. And when some Parikrama parties begin doing Parikrama in Vrindavan, then the first place they go to is Dvadasaditya Til. So if you know, like when you come out of Krishna Balaram temple and then you go right and then you go right again and then you start coming down the Parikrama Marg, then you go past like Kaliya Ghat, where Krishna chastised Kaliya demon. And then you go further, and then you come to Madan Mohan temple. And Madan Mohan temple is situated atop Dvadasaditya hill. And what happened is that when Krishna jumped into the Yamuna to subdue the Kaliya demon, and then finally bestowed his mercy by not annihilating Kaliya, when Krishna came out and jumped back onto land, he jumped back onto this hill. But because Krishna had gone into the Yamuna and he was still wet, he was kind of shivering a little bit. So it said that the one sun that was shining above the hill expanded into 12 suns. And therefore it's called Dwadasa Aditya Hill, the hill of 12 suns, because the one sun transformed into 12 suns. And atop that hill is the Madan Mohan temple. And Madan Mohan is said to be the deity which is in charge of Sambandha. So in the beginning of spiritual life, we're very much praying to Madan Mohan. Jayatam suratur pangor mama manda mater gati. That I'm ill, I'm lame and ill-advised, and so much overcome by lust that I'm praying for your mercy, that I can overcome my lust and thus become determinedly engaged in devotional service. So it said that when you begin parikrama, this is the first place you come to. You come to this place first, because first you take the permission of Madan Mohan, who's the Sambandha Vigraha. Because Madan Mohan is helping us to overcome lust. There's no chance of seeing Vrindavan if one is still having lust within the heart. That's why you begin your parikrama there. But it's also said there's another reason why you begin your parikrama there. Because on the hill where the one sun expanded into 12, so the sun was 12 times more intense, the pilgrim goes to Vrindavan. The pilgrim who's beginning parikrama goes to that place and prays to Krishna that on this parikrama, in this month of Kartik, allow my bhajan, allow my spiritual practice, allow my sadhana and my vows to become 12 times more intense. And in this way, allow me to really make some significant spiritual advancement. So these are some things that I thought I wanted to share with everyone about Guru, about Vrindavan, about the gifts that the Guru gives to each one of us, and about how in this month of Kartik that's coming up, how it's really just an opportunity to intensify our connection with all of these gifts and in this way, live a very natural, spontaneous, inspired spiritual life. Because I think if there's one message that Maharaj gives again and again, it's about living an inspired spiritual life. Yes, there is duty. Yes, there is determination. Yes, there are rules and regulations and rituals. Yes, all of these things are required, but ultimately, it's a movement of taste. It's a movement of inspiration. It's a movement which is based on actual experience of genuine Krishna consciousness. And so I think Kartik is really that time in which we can take all of these things that our spiritual master has given us and really take advantage of it and really try to implant it deep within our hearts. Okay, I guess I don't want to speak too much more than that. It would be really nice. There are many, many devotees on the call, many, many senior other disciples also. It would be nice to hear anyone's reflections on any of these points, or if you have any discussion points, then we can discuss that. So, yes. Would anyone like to share anything, or if anyone has any question they would like to ask, please also share your feelings or recollections of Maharaj in relation to maybe any of these points about the gifts that the Guru gives us like that.
Yes, I would like to say something.
Yes, Bhagavati, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Well, especially with regards to the that spiritual master gives us Lord Chaitanya. Because I actually had, you told Guru Maharaj that you had a hard time having that relationship with Lord Chaitanya, and I always struggled with that. And when Guru Maharaj was in Radhadesh before he went to Germany, I asked him if I could help him with his book. And I got this project from him, and it involved me going through all the books of the Goswamis and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, finding all the Srimad Bhagavatam verses. And it actually really made me, it forced me to go really deep and to understand not only Lord Chaitanya, but all those wonderful devotees and the philosophy and the links between it. And then at the same time, obviously, we had all the lectures that he gave every day, which were right next to my room. I was staying right next to him. So it gave me a lot of appreciation, especially for that part, because I knew that he was my link to Lord Chaitanya, but this time I could really see it in practice. And it was an amazing experience.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah, I think Maharaj is so expert at engaging us in services, and often we think like it's a great opportunity to serve Maharaj, and of course, whatever service we can do. But there's always a deeper thing within it where he's actually giving us the greatest gift by engaging us in that. It's kind of like Krishna sends Uddhava to Vrindavan and he's like, can you do me a favor and just send this message to the gopis to kind of tell them that don't worry, I'll be back soon. And Uddhava's thinking like, yeah, I've got this really great responsible service to do for Krishna. And then he arrives in Vrindavan and realizes that, oh my God, I don't have the devotion that the Brajavasis have. And actually Krishna sent me here so I can learn something. In the service for Maharaj, he actually teaches us something that we need to learn. So yeah, I think many of us have that experience. Thank you very much. And just to share something else on Lord Chaitanya, I think Antaranga Prabhu was doing some service for Maharaj, and Maharaj was getting him to read the Chaitanya Mangal. And in the Chaitanya Mangal, it says that in the future, Vyasadeva will come again. Vyas will come again and tell more of the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. And so that was a little bit puzzling, because it's like, what, does Vyas come again to like tell the pastimes of Mahaprabhu? Like, what does this mean? But then when you look in the Antya Leela chapter 20 of the CC, then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada quotes in the purport, he explains that what this means is that in the future, many spiritual masters who are perfectly in the line of Vyasadeva will come to explain Mahaprabhu's pastimes, and those spiritual masters are to be also called Vyas because they're perfect representatives of Vyas. And therefore, those spiritual masters who are perfectly in the line of Vyasadeva will tell the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, and they should be known as Vyas, and on their birthday we do a Vyasa Puja like that. So that also reminded us of Maharaj, that he's very much in that line, sharing those pastimes of Mahaprabhu and connecting us. Thank you very much. I don't know if anyone else would like to
share. There's one question in the chat from Acharya Gautra Prabhu. He says, when Maharaj said first understand Gaura Tattva, would you advise that we should first understand Guru Tattva?
Yeah. So when we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then we'll see that the first 14 verses of the Adi Leela chapter 1 are a Mangalacharan to the whole book of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And those 14 verses are expanded into 12 chapters. And those first 12 chapters of the Adi Lila are very much all about Gaura Tattva, about Guru Tattva, and about basically all aspects of philosophy that's required in order to then really enter into Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So yes, understanding Guru Tattva, Gaura Tattva, these are all synonymous points. And actually, if we read Prabhupada's book systematically, then we'll see that Prabhupada perfectly takes us on that journey. So like if you just read Chaitanya Charitamrita systematically from the beginning, chapter one, Adi Lila, then you'll understand Gaura Tattva, you'll understand Guru Tattva. Because right in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami says, Vande Gurun, Isha Bhaktan, Isha Nisha Vatara Khan. He's saying that I have many gurus, and he's explaining about all his different gurus. He's explaining about who Gauranga is. He's explaining about all the different tattvas and shaktis of Krishna. And so all of this is covered within those chapters. So yes, Guru Tattva, Gaura Tattva, and even Krishna Tattva must be understood before anything else. And that was Mahaprabhu's instructions to the Goswamis. That his first instructions to the Goswamis was Bhakta Bhakti Krishna Prem Tattvera Nidhar. Understand, document the tattva of the devotee, the tattva of the Lord, and the tattva of devotional service. All of these truths, outline them in all the scriptures, because this is the foundation of everything. We will not understand anything more if the philosophy is not there. Therefore, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's explained, Siddhanta boliye chite nakara alash. When it comes to talking about Siddhanta, discussing philosophy, understanding tattva, nakara alash, don't be lazy. Why? Iha hoite Krishna lage sudrida manush. Because when you do that, when you do that hard philosophical work of trying to grasp the Siddhanta, then your mind becomes very, very strong and very, very steady and very, very controlled. And one who doesn't have a strong, steady, controlled mind will not be able to enter into the mysteries of Krishna's understanding. So yeah, I hope that helps. Would anyone else like to ask any questions? Or
Siddhapa Prabhu?
Yes.
Krishna Kirtan here. Hari Bol Prabhu. Thank you for your presentation so far. It's been very inspiring. You touched on two themes on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also the Kartik Vrindavan mood. Wait. How can you guide us in how we... See, the question is that we very much attach to Vrindavan, but then we're also supposed to be attached to Sri Chaitanya. And it's not that we draw a line, Vrindavan is Radha Krishna, and we're supposed to think of Mayapur Mahaprabhu. It's not like that. How can we better understand how we approach Kartik, which is a month where we very much focus on Krishna in Vrindavan, we see it with this appreciation and through the worship of Gauranga. Does that make sense, my question?
Yeah, I'll say some things and then if I don't...
Thank you.
Narottam says, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. There's no entrance to Radha and Krishna unless you go through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that we know. We know that Vrindavan is the place of Raganuga Bhakti. So then sometimes people say, like, you're not going to do it through sadhana. You need to achieve Raganuga Bhakti. But it said that the Sankirtan movement, Mahaprabhu came to give that process by which one can enter into that very spontaneous loving attraction with Krishna. And so we're going through Mahaprabhu. Now, the thing is, there's no difference between Navadvip and between Mayapur and Vrindavan. Like it says that even in one bhajan, that one should not see that they're any different. Mahaprabhu himself wanted to go to Vrindavan, right? Like he had many aspirations to go to Vrindavan after first initiation, Harinam initiation, after sannyas, after meeting Rupa and Sanatan. 3 or 4 times he was foiled in his attempts to go to Vrindavan. But eventually he reached Vrindavan and he did his Vrajamandal Parikrama. So in Krishna consciousness, everything is connected. Mahaprabhu is connected to Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu was under the tamarind tree at Imlital, isn't it? Krishna was under that tree and Krishna was Shyam and he was thinking of Radharani. And therefore under that tamarind tree at Imlitala, Krishna became golden thinking of Radharani. And that same Imlitala, that same tamarind tree, Mahaprabhu, who was Gaura, was thinking of Krishna in the mood of Radharani, and that Gauranga became Shyam. So that Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu sent his followers to Vrindavan, the Goswamis. So I think when we think of Mahaprabhu, we can't separate it from Vrindavan, because Mahaprabhu, when he was in Jagannath Puri, he was only thinking of, he was seeing Chatak Parvat and thinking of Govardhan Hill. He was seeing Jagannath Ocean and thinking of the Yamuna. He was, he was seeing Jagannath and thinking of Krishna with a flute in Vrindavan. All of these things are there. So Mahaprabhu is in Vrindavan consciousness. So it all fits together, actually. It all fits. When you increase your love for Mahaprabhu, you increase your love for Vrindavan. When you increase your love for Mahaprabhu, you naturally gain access to Radha and Krishna. And through the Sankirtan of the holy names, ultimately, because even Radharani is said, isn't it? Raghunath Das Goswami says in one song, Ekada Krishna Virahad Dhyayanti Priya Sangamam. Ekada Krishna Virahad, Radharani Ekada, one day, Krishna Virahad, she was feeling great separation from Krishna. Dhyayanti Priya Sangamam, and she was meditating on her beloved again and again, thinking, when will I meet him? Mano Bashpa Nirasaya, then in order to alleviate the discomfort within her mind at being separated from Krishna, Japanditam Muhur Muhur, again and again she began chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Raghunath Das Goswami writes this in a song of how Radharani was one day feeling great separation from Krishna and began chanting the Maha Mantra in order to relieve her separation. So like this we see Mahaprabhu, his inner desire, the process that he gave, is very much connecting you to Vrindavan. And therefore, when one sees all of these things in a deeper way, then there's no sense of separation because everything transcendentally synergizes. I don't know if that answers.
Yeah, that's a nice point. And just something else that came to my mind was how Maharaj introduced this idea of the Prabhupada gate, how we enter Vrindavan practically through that gate, but symbolically also by Prabhupada's mercy. Maybe you can just explain that a bit more as well.
Yeah, entering Vrindavan. And then also Gopali on the message says that I mentioned we should go Madan Mohan first. You're saying we should come through Prabhupada's gate first. And Guru Maharaj also said you should go to Gopeshwar Mahadev first because he's the protector of the Dham. So where should we go first? There's a transcendental dilemma here. Well, I think they're all correct. Maharaj does say we come through the Prabhupada gate. It's Prabhupada who was the ambassador of Vrindavan. It's Prabhupada that left Vrindavan and invited the whole world back. Once when I was going on a Vrajamandal Parikrama, the day before I left, I called Sachinandan Maharaj and he told me the first thing I should do when I go to Vrindavan is go to Prabhupada's Samadhi and take Prabhupada's blessings. So there's definitely a case for that. There's definitely a case for going to Madan Mohan, because Madan Mohan is a Sambandha Vigraha, and that is a Vrindavan tradition.